All right, guys, you are locked on Falcons. I'm your host, Aaron Freeman, and today is a crossover Thursday where I am joined by the host of Locked On Vikings, Luke Braun, to preview this upcoming Week 6 matchup between the Falcons and Vikings.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch this season. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power you through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. So, guys, you know me. I'm Aaron Freeman, been covering the Falcons for many years, formerly at FalcFans.com, RIP, currently on Twitter at FalcFans, and, of course, hosting this illustrious Locked On Falcons podcast, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, right here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And today's episode is, of course, Thursday, a crossover Thursday, where I am joined from a rival host on the Locked On Podcast Network to talk about the upcoming matchup featuring my team, the Atlanta Falcons. This week, it's, of course, against the Minnesota Vikings. And we're featuring Locked On Vikings host Luke Braun. And we're going to get into the conversation with Luke, talking about some of the key matchups in this game. What's going on with this struggling Vikings team? Is their defense as good? Is their running game and offensive line going to be able to carry their offense? What's going on with Kirk Cousins? We'll get into the conversation around the Falcons, talking about sort of what type of Falcon team are we going to see in this first game under Raheem Morris this upcoming weekend, as well as why the Falcons offense isn't clicking, why their defense is, you know, as bad as it's ever been. And we'll get into that a little bit later on today's crossover Thursday. But first, I want to talk about the Locked On Falcons lead story, which is focusing on Marlon Davidson testing positive or going on the reserve COVID-19 list, and what that could potentially mean now that the Falcons are forced to have to undergo intensive protocols. So the Falcons are now in the NFL's intensive COVID-19 protocol after the placement of rookie defensive tackle Marlon Davidson on the reserve COVID-19 list on Tuesday. The timing of Davidson's placement on the list is important because it means that he likely tested positive for his Monday test, which means there was a high probability that he might have been positive for COVID-19 on Sunday when the Falcons played the Carolina Panthers. Thus, the Panthers are also in the intensive protocol, which the NFL enacted earlier this month after a series of positive tests for the Tennessee Titans led to them having to postpone and reschedule games and close their facilities. These intensive protocols include players that were in close contact with Davidson over the weekend to be isolated for a period of 5 or more days. Players and staff will have to wear masks and or face shields for all on and off field activities, including practice. And teams are supposed to reduce contact between players and staff in the weight room, team meetings, as well as on-site meals. This will be something to keep an eye on, especially if players that were in close contact with Davidson on Sunday and or Monday also test positive over the course of this week, as the incubation period for COVID-19 can last several days before individuals will test positive. Should other players, as this week rolls on, also land on the COVID-19 list, it could put the Falcons in lockdown, similar to what we've seen from several pro and college teams in recent weeks that have developed a spike as well as clusters of COVID-19 cases. That would potentially put Week 6's game against the Minnesota Vikings in jeopardy and create more headaches for a league trying to adjust on the fly to the actions of teams like the Titans, who have been accused of still holding group workouts even after the NFL shut down their facility in late September and prohibited from doing that. Those actions and others prompted games to be moved around, and a domino effect along with the positive test of just a few players on a few teams have so disrupted this year's NFL schedule and created a domino effect for a total of 10 NFL teams. Should the Falcons-Vikings game, as well as Carolina's upcoming game against the Chicago Bears in Week 6, get impacted, that could impact at least 4 more teams' 2020 schedule. So far this season, the Falcons have only had one player test positive during the season, with fellow rookie A.J. Terrell being placed on the reserve list just prior to the team's Week 3 game against the Chicago Bears. But in the weeks since, until Davidson, no other players or staff members have tested positive or been known to be in contact with other individuals that have tested positive. Technically, we don't know if Davidson actually tested positive for COVID-19, as league rules prohibit teams from divulging that. He could have just been around somebody who did. Davidson played 12 snaps for the Falcons against the Panthers, and six Panther players along their offensive line have already been identified by the Charlotte Observer of being in close contact with him during the course of those 12 plays. No updates on which specific Falcon players will have to be isolated as quote unquote high risk candidates for exposure, but it's likely to include several players along the Falcons defensive line. Hopefully it's just a one-off. And while losing Davidson will hurt the Falcons interior defensive line rotation, it shouldn't be catastrophic for them, but this would be a tough thing to handle for interim head coach Raheem Morris, especially in his first week on the job after the Falcons fired Dan Quinn on Sunday. So it's definitely something we're going to have to keep an eye on as the rest of the week unfolds as we get closer to Sunday's game. So guys, there's your Locked On Falcons lead story. And we are going to continue today's episode by getting into the crossover Thursday with Locked On Vikings host Luke Braun coming up. And we're going to get into sort of the issues that the Falcons are dealing with, including what type of response that we're going to see from this Falcon team this week under head coach Raheem Morris. But before we get there, I do want to plug the Locked On NFL podcast, where you guys can find a whole host of various Locked On podcast hosts, including Luke, hosting that during the course of the week and giving you all the updates that you need from all the stories going around the NFL. Of course, you can subscribe to the Locked On NFL podcast on your favorite podcast platform, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment or overbearing sports parents, fewer than 1% of 1% of 1% of people will ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they've joined another league, the League of Football Watchers. This season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch. I'm excited to see how the Falcons finish out this season, as we could be marking a brand new era of Falcons football starting in 2021. And Pepsi is the refreshment that you need to power through any game day, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi.
All right, bringing it in with Aaron Freeman of Locked On Falcons at Falk Fans on Twitter. Of course, I'm Luke Braun of Locked On Vikings at Luke Braun NFL. Kicking off one of the saddest possible crossover Thursdays between our two teams. How you doing, Aaron?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, I'm looking forward to this crossover, and then it's right back to depression after we hit pause on the record.
Yeah, well, we can commiserate a little bit here, because your team's 0-5, my team's 1-4. You guys just fired your coach. So I think the biggest thing that I'm curious about going into this one is what the mood is like in Atlanta, because there are definitely some times where, you know, a coach gets fired and he was really the cancer, and then the team kind of comes out and plays out of their skulls the next game. Is that the kind of mood? Or, I mean, how are players reacting to the firing of Dan Quinn? Is it like a finally thing, or you know, do they miss the guy?
No, it's definitely the latter. They definitely miss the guy. You know, the players throughout this entire process have been very supportive of Dan Quinn, even going back to last year when they got off to the 1-7 start. And it's one of those things where, you know, part of you is like, hey, well, if they're so supportive, like it's go out there and win one for Dan. But at the same time, it's kind of counterintuitive that if it's like, if you suddenly start playing well, when Dan Quinn's gone, like that kind of says something about him when he was here. So I think this is not one of those situations. And I saw your Twitter thread earlier on Wednesday talking about some of the midseason firings, but it's not one of those situations like we saw with Cleveland a couple of years ago, where it seemed like a very dysfunctional situation within that coaching staff and that organization, and sort of getting rid of Hugh Jackson sort of breathe fresh life into that organization. I don't get the sense that that's going to be the situation here in Atlanta. It's just going to be sort of similar, same old, but maybe the firing of Dan Quinn does sort of light a fire under this team, and maybe they play with a little bit more of a sense of urgency than they have so far this season.
I mean, yeah, you have to hope, right? But I guess speaking of like Dan Quinn and that defense, is, you know, he's supposed to be a defensive coach, and that defense is just one of the worst defenses I've ever seen. The discipline isn't there. They're blowing coverages. They're letting up all sorts of things. And, you know, forget the way the Falcons have played with a lead and blown all the leads, which of course is such a famous thing. But I mean, now they're just getting rolled up. So like, what is wrong with that defense, and what do the Falcons have to do to try and fix it?
Well, you know, a lot of it, they play sort of basic zone coverage a lot. They like to play cover three. They're mixing in a lot more cover two in their defense. And as you know, Luke, like when you're going to play zone coverage, a lot of it relies on your ability to get pressure with four guys, because a lot of the zone coverage is the idea of sort of, we'll give you sort of the underneath stuff and we'll sort of, you know, you can dink and dunk us, but eventually on third down, eventually in the red zone, we're going to be able to get stops. And unfortunately for the Falcons, they haven't been that successful doing that. They're giving up the underneath stuff, but teams are just basically able to dink and dunk their way down the field. And eventually it results in the scores. And their man coverage, which has sort of been the thing that they've, generally speaking, hung their hat on in the past when their defense has actually been decent, has not been nearly as good, in large part due to having a lot of young corners, with a rookie in AJ Terrell and second year player in Kendall Sheffield and a third year player in Isaiah Oliver, and particularly those latter two guys just aren't that good, despite sort of being, you know, relatively early round draft picks. And their safety and linebacker play just has been abysmal this year, in part owed to injuries, but they just haven't got the consistency on their defense. And it's basically like Grady Jarrett, Charles Harris is kind of like their second best player. And after that, it's kind of a significant drop off on, you know, who's actually performing well this season. So it's just a lot of bad performance. And you're right. A lot of it is just, you know, miscommunications, mental errors. They're just not particularly good at situational football and haven't been for the last couple of years. And, you know, the hope was that they had gotten those things fixed when they made the switch to have Raheem Morris take over defensive play calling at the end of last year. And Raheem Morris is still calling plays. He's getting a little bit more help now from Jeff Ulbrich, now that Morris has been promoted to interim head coach. But unless they can sort of turn that around and suddenly young players start playing like savvy veterans, which is very unlikely, it looks like they're going to continue to have these issues on defense.
Yeah, there's a long hill to climb there. But on the other side of the ball, there's plenty of problems too. I mean, the last two games, the Falcons haven't been able to cross 20 points. And, you know, there's plenty of interesting matchups, I guess, to talk about. But I guess similar to you guys, you know, you've got a rookie corner with his ups and downs. We've got a couple of rookie corners with ups and downs. So it doesn't look, I don't know, Julio Jones didn't practice on Wednesday. As of this recording, we don't know what happened on Thursday. But whether or not Julio Jones plays, you still have Calvin Ridley. But you know, what are the other like weapons that Matt Ryan can use? You know, I think the offensive line looks fine over there, and it seems like they have a good personnel. So I guess is this offense not living up to expectations as well? Is there some mysterious thing wrong, or do I just have too high of an opinion of like the Matt Ryan led attack?
No, that's been the big issue. We talk about how sort of the defense has struggled. The Falcons have never relied on their defense to go out there and win them games. They've always, going back to Matt Ryan's rookie year, always relied on their offense to go out there and win games. When they were, you know, in many times over the last 12 years, they would, you know, get a lead, blow it in the third quarter, you know, similar to the Vikings last week. And then their offense would sort of put it all together and drive down the field in the fourth quarter and get that game-winning drive, get that game-winning field goal or touchdown to win the game. And looking at their offense now, it's just, you know, Julio Jones is a big part of their offense. Julio Jones is Matt Ryan's security blanket. He doesn't have that same level of trust and rapport with other players quite yet. You know, he's getting there with Calvin Ridley, but Calvin Ridley is much more effective, you know, when he's singled up on the outside and not getting the bracket coverage that Julio Jones typically gets on every single snap. And, you know, the last couple of games with Ridley sort of having to be more of that number one guy and seeing more of that coverage, he hasn't quite had the same level of production. He's still been productive at times, but it isn't to the same degree where he can single-handedly carry the offense. And they're not really getting great contribution from, you know, the guys beyond Ridley, with Olamide Zaccheaus and Russell Gage and Hayden Hurst. Like, they've, you know, those guys have been virtual no shows, catching like one or two passes these last couple of games. And that's just not enough to sustain your offense. Fortunately for the Falcons, their running game has been pretty effective. Todd Gurley sort of, you know, found some juice last week against Carolina. I know a lot of that's owed to Carolina's run defense not being great. But it's one of those things where they're just kind of an ordinary offense without Julio Jones in the lineup. And if he doesn't play this week, and, you know, historically he doesn't do great against the Minnesota Vikings. I think a lot of that's owed to Xavier Rhodes and the Vikings defense and their pass rush being able to, you know, sort of control the line of scrimmage. But it's one of those
things. They don't exactly have those horses anymore.
Yeah. So it's one of those things where, like, I think his presence this week for the first time in many years facing this Zimmer-led defense would be hugely beneficial, because I don't know if the Vikings have what it takes to sort of do the normal things in sort of keeping Julio Jones in check. So I think his presence this week would be huge for the Falcons offense. But, you know, given the issues that he's dealing with the hamstring, they're just going to have to find ways to have other players emerge. And so far, outside of Calvin Ridley, no one in Todd Gurley, no one else is really doing that. And they become a pretty ordinary offense.
Yeah, it makes sense. And it's disappointing, which I guess we have our own disappointments to talk about. So when we come back, let's talk about the Vikings' disappointments and all the things that you and your Falcons ilk would like to know about us. So when we come back, Aaron's going to bring us back in and we'll talk a little bit about the Vikings.
So guys, we're going to continue today's Crossover Thursday with Luke Braun of Locked On Vikings by getting into the Vikings and wondering sort of whether or not this Vikings defense has taken a significant enough step backwards that even this struggling Falcons offense will be able to overcome them. And you kind of heard Luke talk about it. Maybe they don't have the horses. Maybe that means they don't have all the right parts to have that high level Vikings defense that we've come to know under Mike Zimmer. And while that can be a complicated and complex issue when it comes to building your NFL defense with the right parts, it's not so complicated and complex when it comes to finding the right parts for your car or truck, because all you got to do is go over to rockauto.com. They have everything from engine control modules, brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even floor mats. You can get everything you need in just a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and easy to navigate, as you can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle, choose by brand, specification, and the price that you prefer. And those prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. So we're continuing this Crossover Thursday. Of course, Aaron Freeman of Locked On Falcons, joined by Luke Braun of Locked On Vikings. And we're focusing our attention now on the Minnesota Vikings. Obviously, probably we just talked about the absence of Julio Jones in terms of his injury. I think a big potential loss for the Vikings is running back Dalvin Cook. I'm curious, what are your thoughts on sort of, and how much confidence do you have in whether if Cook is out this week, whether someone like Alex Mattison will be able to pick up the slack?
Yeah, so Dalvin Cook dealing with a groin injury. He got an MRI on it after the Sunday night game against Seattle. It came back with encouraging returns, I guess. But the Vikings have their bye week coming up. And after their bye week, they play three divisional games in a row. So it kind of behooves them to maybe be careful and shut Dalvin Cook down. He didn't practice on Wednesday, so it seems like that's the way that it's going. You definitely lose something without Dalvin Cook. I think we saw it in that Seattle game. You know, you lost some of the elusiveness, the ability to force missed tackles, the ability to kind of widen out gaps and just make the opposing run defense look a little bit worse than it is. Alexander Mattison, he's fine. He's a plenty dynamic runner. He makes the right reads, enough of the time, and he's got this crazy hurdle. He tries to hurdle somebody once or twice a game. And he was an elite hurdler in college. So like, he's actually pretty good at it. So he is his own style of runner, but he's not Dalvin Cook, and he doesn't offer the same thing. He doesn't like strike the same fear that Dalvin Cook strikes. That's not to say he's a bad running back, and I think the running game should probably be fine. It just won't be, you know, the thing you get with Dalvin Cook.
Now, a big issue with the Vikings offense over the years has been their offensive line play and subpar offensive line play. It's been better these last couple of years. But do you go back to this their last game against the Falcons in week one in 2019. And, you know, even though the Vikings were able to run the ball very effectively in that game, pretty much any time Kirk Cousins went back to pass, he was under pressure. Now, fortunately for them, they were able to dominate the game so thoroughly with their run game that I think Kirk Cousins only dropped back to pass 10 times in that game, as well as the Vikings defense really stepping up. But I'm curious, if they can't lean on their running game as much, do you have more confidence in this Vikings offensive line, particularly in the interior, going up against someone like a Grady Jarrett, who was really dominant in particular in that 2019 game?
Yeah, this is the matchup that's like most interesting to me, because like the 2019 game, all right, like there was like an interception and a weird thing happened here there, and I think there was like a fumble or something, and the Vikings were up 21-0 in the first quarter there, and it kind of ruined like the dynamic of the game, and it kind of wrecked all the play calling and stuff. So it feels like a game that you can like mostly throw out of the sample. But in that game, Grady Jarrett embarrassed Garrett Bradbury so bad that PFF actually gave him a 0.0 pass blocking grade on the day, and which is like an unprecedented thing. Garrett Bradbury has been much better this season. He definitely has figured it out. I think he just wasn't quite ready coming into, you know, his very first NFL start. He was a rookie in his first start going up against a guy like Grady Jarrett. That's really rough. He seems to have figured it out. He seems to have improved, even improving against guys that made him struggle last year. Like Kenny Clark really kicked his butt twice last year with the Packers, and he seemed to hold his own a little bit better in week one against Green Bay, one of the only Vikings that did. But we'll see if he can hold his own against Grady Jarrett again. The problem is the guards are Dakota Dozier, who should not be starting for any team in the NFL. He is not a starting quality guard. He just has way too many. He has some really upside plays and some really downside plays, and the downside plays are going to be way more impactful just because that's how offensive line works. And right now, it's Drew Samia. Their starter, Pat Elflein, is on IR. He's not going to come off IR in time for this game. And so then it's Drew Samia, who is potentially the worst NFL player I've ever seen. And I that's not hyperbole. Like, I genuinely struggle to think of an NFL player who looks worse. I actually did a cut up of all of his blunders against Seattle and set it to Benny Hill. It's unbelievable. That is a weakness that I think Atlanta can attack, even with not necessarily that great a play. Like, you don't need to use Grady Jarrett to get pressure against Drew Samia. So I think that's the concern, but it's a much different group. Brian O'Neill, Riley Reiff having a great season, Brian O'Neill not having as good of a season as he did in 2019. That is definitely a matchup that I think is really difficult to predict and seems to be really high leverage.
Now, I normally would ask you about Kirk Cousins, but since you didn't ask me about Matt Ryan, I will sort of let that slide, and I appreciate you, Luke, for not asking me about whether Matt Ryan's still good anymore. So
Is he bad? I genuinely don't know.
No, he has not played well this last couple of games, and that's been a contributing factor to why the Falcons' offense has stagnated. In large part, I think a lot of that is owed to not having Julio Jones as a security blanket, going back to the issues I talked about earlier. He's just not playing with the same level of comfort and confidence that he usually plays with when Julio's out there. But I do want to talk about this Vikings defense, because, you know, I looked it up and they're still the number one defense in third down efficiency. They're top five in red zone efficiency. But why doesn't it seem like, at least from my eyes watching this Vikings defense, they're the same stout unit? Or is it because they're giving up too many big plays? Is it because their run defense is struggling? Is it a lack of pass rush? Is it something else? Or am I just off and the Vikings defense is better than it seems to be? It's more on par with sort of some of those rankings in sort of third down and red zone efficiency.
Yeah, no, you're definitely not off. The Vikings defense is not the, you know, Zimmer defenses of old that would suffocate and shut you down. They just don't have any horses. They've got two rookies at the starting spots at corner. They also have Holton Hill. He's still hurt. He hurt his foot. He didn't play against the Seahawks last week, and he's still not practicing, so it doesn't look like he's going to play against Atlanta either. So you've got a third-round rookie in Cameron Dantzler, a first-round rookie in Jeff Gladney, and Mike Hughes, who's kind of an up and down player as well. That's a far cry from like Rhodes and Waynes, and they don't have Anthony Barr. He's on IR. They don't have Danielle Hunter. He's on IR with a herniated disc in his neck. So they just don't have any horses. I mean, Efadi Odenigbo has played, I think, fine. He's been a starting quality player, but he's not Danielle Hunter. And then, you know, they've got Eric Wilson in relief of Anthony Barr, who is an abysmal run defending linebacker. He's really good in coverage and he's horrible against the run. But I mean, yeah, you get DK Metcalf against a third round rookie in his like second or third ever start, and yeah, you're gonna give up a couple of deep plays. So they've been really, really shredded down the field a lot, and it's been hard for them to hold leads, and it's been hard, you know, They've been kind of playing a lot of catch up. I think on the, over the course of the season, the defense has definitely been worse than the Vikings offense, which is why, you know, you look at a guy like Calvin Ridley, if you're looking for a DFS play, like he might be the one this week, because the Vikings just don't have the, I mean, Mike Zimmer is coaching his butt off, and I think he's elevating the talent that he has like a lot, but he just doesn't have that much talent right now because the Vikings lost it all in the offseason.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. That was what I thought. But I wasn't sure because it's just weird to see a defense that looks like it's struggling as much as it has, at least in the games that I've seen so far this year. Obviously, you watch more.
Yeah, they only have like four good players. There's okay. Like the two safeties are good. You know, Smith and Harris, they're good players. You got Eric Kendricks. He's great. Unique Ngakoue has been having as good of a season as you'd expect from him. And everybody else is like a low end starter to a high end backup. Or yeah, a rookie that hasn't figured it out yet.
Is it because they didn't, am I wrong, and they didn't give up a third down conversion to Seattle at all last week?
Yes, but they gave up a couple of pretty important fourth downs.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's just weird to see them so highly ranked in certain areas that you usually tend to correlate to good defense and then sort of see some of the other issues that they're dealing with. So we'll sort of have to see
what shakes out. It's definitely like a lot of good plays and then like four or five piss the rug catastrophes. They've taken on the identity of Kirk Cousins, where you play 98% of the game well, and then the other 2% is so bad that it undoes a whole bunch of that good play.
I gotcha. Okay, well, I got my Kirk Cousins answer in a roundabout way, so I appreciate you, Luke, for, you know, being the professional that you are and serving me up that. And I think that will probably do it for us today on this Crossover Thursday. Looking forward to sort of seeing which team can get out of their funk. As I've often said and joked on Locked On Falcons with these crossovers, the Falcons are the perfect get-right team. So if you're a team that's struggling, you usually get right against the Falcons. Even when the Falcons were actually good, they usually, you know, players would be in a funk for a couple of games like, oh, we need to get this running back going this week. You know, he's had three straight games of only 40 yards, and then he gets 120 against the Falcons. So that's usually how it happens. So whoever, you know, if it's Kirk Cousins, if it's Mike Hughes, whoever it is, someone's going to have probably their get right game this week in Atlanta.
Yeah. And I would say the Vikings are the a team that is very prone to blowing it. You could be down three scores and you're definitely still in it until we hit triple zeros. You're going to still be in it.
And Falcon fans everywhere are just laughing at you saying that, Luke, as if like they don't know that feeling either. And it's like, we wrote the book on that. Yeah, we wrote the book on that. You're just following our script.
Aaron, thank you so much for hanging out, man.
All right. Appreciate it, man. All right, guys. Luke Braun. Locked On Vikings and a crossover in the books. We're going to have a guest, former NFL player Bryant McKinney of Believe in Vikings podcast on tomorrow to talk a little bit more about this matchup. I know, we still got to do our job, guys, you know, on Locked On Falcons. So much going on with the Falcons, but still got to get you guys prepared for this upcoming game, even though I know most of you already checked out of the season. But I'm going to do my job and do my best to get you guys more insights into this Vikings-Falcons matchup. And maybe, just maybe, the Falcons will get their first win of the season and win one for Dan Quinn. But in addition to having Bryant McKinney on tomorrow's episode, you guys can send in any questions that you may have about the Falcons, about this game, about really anything. You know, if you're focused on what's going to happen next year or at the trade deadline, I will be happy to answer as many of those questions as I can get through. So it's in your best interest to send them in as soon as you think of them. You know, it's kind of a first come, first serve type of situation. And you can, of course, send those questions into Twitter at Locked On Falcons, to Facebook at Locked On Falcons, or send them via email to LockedOnFalcons@mail.com. Until then, guys.